Good morning, Harvest family. Good to see everyone this morning. Continue your prayer. We still got some folks out sick as well as some folks out traveling, so let's keep them in prayer. Good to have those back that have been traveling. Good to see you folks back. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before our choir sings for us this morning. Father, we do love you, and thank you so much for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Father, thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, we just pray that you'd meet with us this morning. Father, help us to we prepare our hearts and minds as we lift our voices in worship and praise unto you. Pray that you do what only you can do during our services today. In Jesus' name, amen. so much for your faithfulness and obedience as given unto your tithes and offerings as unto the Lord. God has blessed us here, and looking forward to what God will continue to do through God's people here at Harvest Baptist Church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we ask God's blessings on our tithes and offerings. Brother Leonard, would you please pray for us?
Father, thank you for your goodness toward us. Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you granted us life. Father, thank you for all that you do for Harvest Baptist Church. And thank you for each visitor that's here with us today, Father. We just anticipate a wonderful day in your house today. And Father, we just thank you and worship you and honor you. And in our worship, Father, we just take time now to give back a portion of what you blessed us with this week. And Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor we have of supporting the ministry here at Harvest Baptist Church and the missionaries that we support throughout the world. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that you have in store for us today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join us, if you would, as we go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our ministry here at Harvest and, of course, the preaching of God's word this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before thy throne, we are so truly grateful for the privilege and the direct access that we have to our Heavenly Father through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you and praise you for your goodness, for your provisions. And Father, we ask your blessings upon our service this morning. I pray that you'd help us to put away the cares and concerns that may be on our hearts and our minds this morning, that we may solely tune in to the preaching of thy word today. Because Father, you have something for each and every one of us here this morning. And I pray that you'd help us to tune and prepare our hearts and mind for that. Father, I thank you for the men and of Harvest. Lord, I pray, Lord, and those men that are present with us this morning, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved, that today would be their day of salvation. Those men who know you as Savior, I pray that you'd be with them and help them, Father. Guard their hearts and their minds, their eyes, their ears, their tongue. And Father, I pray that you'd put a hedge about them and protect them from sin, from physical harm and distress, and help them to be the godly men at home that you would have them to be at work, at play in the community and here at church, Father. Help them to be the shining example and mentors to the others and others around them. Father, we thank you for our ladies at Harvest. We pray that you bless them, encourage them, use them, Lord, as they labor alongside of us here at Harvest Baptist Church. Thank you for those who labor in the nursery and the children's ministries. We pray your deepest, richest blessings upon them, Father, and help our ladies as they strive to be Proverbs 31 women and to be godly examples for the young ladies. Father, be with our children, Father, in the nursery this morning and our children's ministry. Bless them, and may they come to know Christ as their Savior at a young, tender age. And then, Father, we pray for your ask of your blessings upon the remainder of our service. We have our scripture reading, our special music, and then the preaching of your word. And, Father, I pray that you'd help me. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Give me strength this morning, Father, to preach thy word, to be obedient to that which you've shared with me in private, Lord, as I prepare to share and to preach in public. And, Father, please move in the midst of your people and do what only you can do today in our services. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our special music this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. We'll read verse 6 and maybe a few more verses. It's hard to believe that we're 1 year and 1 month in. A year and 1 month ago, we began our journey through 1 John on Sunday mornings, and we're on chapter 5 this morning. We'll continue on, and then, of course, we'll go right into 2 John and 3 John as we finish up 1 John. But this morning, 1 John chapter 5, and we left off before we were away on holiday on verse 5, and we'll pick up our journey in verse number 6. Let's read this and a few more verses. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6. This is he that cometh by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is a spirit that beareth witness, because the spirit is truth. For there are thee that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Crowning me with grace.
to him who reigns above, whose wisdom is my perfect peace, who every thought is love. For every day I have on earth is given
and clap if you want to. You won't offend me at all. Well, you pray for me. I've been getting away with a lot of bad behavior. You can see she's arm is still in a sling. You pray for Michelle, as me as well. She goes back to the doctor on Thursday. Not a whole lot of relief from the injections she's received, but you pray for her, the doctor, give them wisdom and see what the next step is after her visit on Thursday. I'm feeling a little rough this morning, and I'm a little bit ashamed. Sam and Loida, back from Germany, 6-hour time difference. They look great. I don't know how you do it. Tony, Marlene, just back from East Tennessee. And I'm still getting up at 2 and 3 in the morning, and I've been back from the East Coast for 10 days. I don't know what's going on with my internal clock. So I'm going to ask visitors, if you're here for the first time, don't judge me today on today's message. That's all I can do to stay awake. Please come back another time. Give me a little more time to recover from that jet lag or whatever's going on. I know I'm getting older, but I remember going back and forth from Europe, my military days, my missions field days, and it seemed like I just never missed a beat. But my internal clock just has not reset. And no, I have not been taking naps. The only nap I had was last Sunday, and it was a very short one. So hopefully this will get straightened out here soon. If you have your Bibles this morning, you should. Hopefully you're still there. We'll go on with 1 John chapter 5. The victorious Christian has insurance. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have assurance in our Savior? I mean, I trust my wife and I love my wife, but there's no doubt there's no one that I trust more than God. There's no more that I trust in the Holy Spirit. There's no more that I trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is a wonderful blessing to have the treasure of solid biblical assurance in our lives. It is a comfort when we can rely on something we purchase and depend upon it for our daily needs. That's one thing, but what a blessing it is to be able to rely on family, friend, or folks that we know that their word is true and their character is like gold. In this section of 1 John chapter 1, we will look at the wonderful blessing of assurance that Christians enjoy and why we have that assurance. We will look at over the coming weeks, we will look at the assurance we have in the deity of Christ this morning. And the next week, the assurance about our salvation. And then later, the assurance we have in our prayer life. But let's begin in verse number 6 this morning and look at John's statement and witness of the deity of Christ. Let's read our text verse one more time. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 6. This he is he that cometh by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. John stated that Jesus is God by a number of verified witnesses. We know from reading the Bible that the Lord is the Son of God. He is the living Word. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that God the Father gave His only Son Jesus to die for our sins that we could have eternal life. And I'm afraid we're living in the world today that we are not honoring, I believe, individually, collectively others as the way we should. And therefore, that is a reflection. Are we really honoring God, the Son of God? Are we recognizing the deity of Christ, who he is? And there, do we still have that reverence we should have for our Savior? See, the deity and ministry of Christ were verified by the witness of the water, the blood, and the Holy Spirit. The word witness is from the word martureo, which is a key word in this passage. It comes from the Greek root word martus, which means to testify what one remembers. And because many Christians gave their lives in testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ, this became the root of our English word martyr. A martyr for Christ is a person who voluntarily suffers death from the penalty of witnessing about Christ and refusing to renounce him in their faith. Today, and we're very fortunate here in America, we may think we're suffering a little persecution, but dear friend, take the persecution because it's not martyrdom. We may face some and people may speak out against us or be critical of our faith, but today there are many Christians in China, the Middle East, and parts of Africa that are being executed simply because of their faith and that they will not renounce their Savior, Jesus Christ. What does John mean when he refers to water and blood here in our text? First of all, let's take the first witness, the witness, letter A, of the water. This is believed to be the reference to the baptism of John by John the Baptist. See, when John was baptized in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit confirmed the deity of the Son of God by descending like a dove and resting upon the Lord. Have you ever thought for a moment when you're reading that what it must have been like or what it must have looked like as a dove descended there? It must have been an incredible sight to behold. It was a fulfillment of what God told John the Baptist in John chapter 1 in verse number 33. The Bible says, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost." You see, the Holy Spirit continues to confirm in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the internal witness in Christians today. John stated in verse 10, the first part that I read earlier, "He that believeth on the Son hath God, hath the witness in him." Isn't it wonderful to know, since I've trusted Christ, the Spirit of the Lord dwelleth in me and is witness of me, and I can, because of him, seek the insights of Scripture, ask the Lord to show me and to teach me, because he is truth. You see, it is the Holy Spirit who gives us assurance of our salvation and the assurance about the deity of Christ. He is also the one that convicts us of sin when we do wrong. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And then Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. The Bible says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And then again in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." And then John chapter 15 and verse number 26, the Bible says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, ye shall testify of me." Dear friends, after the Holy Spirit ascended like a dove upon Jesus, God the Father gave witness about his holy and only Son, confirming the presence of all three persons of the Trinity. See, dear friends, our Heavenly Father spoke from heaven, and those present heard God speak. I realize that the Lord doesn't work that way today audibly, but friends, I believe you know what it is when the Spirit of God is speaking to your conscience, speaking to your heart, maybe bringing conviction or speaking to you or leading you and guiding you in your life. I am so glad that we have that witness of the water, the witness of the Spirit of God working and indwelling in our hearts and lives as believers. God spoke again at the transfiguration of Jesus. Again, have you ever wondered what his voice sounded like?
I know when the Spirit of God speaks to my heart. I remember that day in service where the Lord began to speak to my heart about full-time ministry. I remember very vividly at a young age into my late teen years when the Lord began ministering to me and convicting me about my activities of what came first, God, ministry, or some other aspect that I was involved in. I remember those things like they were yesterday. Even today, I know when the Lord is speaking to my heart about some things in my life that might need to improve, that might need to get better, or that I might need to back away from because it's a weight in my walk and my testimony with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, here we see, again, the rarity of such an event implies a very special message that took place at the baptism of our Lord and Savior and at the Transfiguration. That announcement from God made it perfectly clear to all that Jesus, God's Son, was acting in obedience to what he was supposed to do. Let me throw in real quick and I'll move on. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior and you've never been scripturally baptized, that's your first step of obedience unto the Lord to follow him. It's not an addition to salvation. It's not needed for salvation, but it's that first step of obedience when we trust Christ as our personal Savior to be scripturally baptized. And just like the Spirit said that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Notice what Peter said about this event in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. John not only speaks about the witness of the water, but let her be the witness of the blood. I'm going to step back just a moment real quick. Let me ask you, when's the last time you know the Spirit of God was speaking to your heart? When's the last time you know that the Lord was swaying you or pushing you to do something else or to stop doing something? When's the last time you remember taking, as you took that first step of obedience of being baptized, have you also continued to say, "Lord, help me to continue to be obedient in my walk and my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ"? You know, there's so many things in our life as a Christian that should become a habit. It should be habit forming in our life, like reading our Bible, spending time in prayer, striving to be a witness and an encouragement to others. The witness of the water, and let her be the witness of the blood. The blood is a witness that was offered at the close of Jesus' ministry when he was crucified. So it speaks of his crucifixion. The events surrounding the cross point to God's hand upon our Savior Jesus. The fulfillment of Old Testament scripture, the supernatural darkness, the earthquake, the rending of the veil in the Jewish temple, all confirm that something special was taking place at Calvary, and it was divine, it was deity. The Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 27 and Mark chapter 15 could not help but conclude, truly this was the Son of God. I can't help but to believe if we would remind ourselves and our world recognize Christ as being the Son of God, I think maybe our behavior as a country would be a little bit different. I think sometimes we forget in whom we serve. I don't understand sometimes of what's going on in our political world. I don't know what's going on in the world that we live other than Satan has a desire to sow conflict and discord all around us. But sometimes I would just wish we could put all that thing, you know, all those things behind and say, let's do what's best for our country. Let's do what's best for our community. Let's do what's best for my family. And Lord, help me to do what's best in honoring you, serving you, and living for you. Because you gave your life. You shed your blood that I might have eternal life. Lord, help me to live that out in my life. The Roman centurion, truly, this was the Son of God. Do we live like we know it? Do we live like we know he is the very Son of God? Do we live like the Spirit of God indwells within us, or do we stifle it? I'm not much of a hot tea maker. This is one that just came to me, Brother Hunt. But I learned to drink hot tea in the winter because I married a girl that grew up in England. and they liked their hot tea over there. I learned how to make it the right way, when to add the milk, when to add the water, the way the British do it. But I've learned through the times when I'm making my hot tea and putting my tea bag in there to steep. Thank you. I haven't done it enough recently. I've already forgot that word. And they've got those clips that you can put in there, but more than the tea bag. But in other words, you cover it up. And when we cover it up, you know, kind of keeps the steam in, keeps the heat in, helps it as it steeps to stay a little bit hotter. But if you don't have that cover on it, usually when the water's really hot, you'll see that mist or that steam coming off. Here's the problem that many Christians have, and I know I'm getting off away from my message. This is not even my outline. It's absolutely free. I'm afraid we're covering up and stifling the Spirit of God. There's no visualness of the Spirit of God that dwells within us. There's no smoke. There's no steam. There's no evidence because we've covered it. It's one thing to cover our coffee or to cover our tea for it to steep and to cover and to keep the heat in. But dear friends, there's things within us as believers that need to come out. It should be visual. It should be vocal. There should be something about us that different that people see. Whether they see it in our walk, in our talk, they see the consistencies of it because we're allowing the Spirit of God that indwells within us to work. Yes, I follow the Lord in believers' baptism in the water. Yes, I know I have trusted Him. I do know and honor the blood of Christ who gave His life for me. But are we living like we are saved? Are we covering up? Are we stifling? Are we making the Holy Spirit take a back seat because we're afraid of what people may think? We're afraid of how people may respond if we say or act like we're believers. Dear friends, let's do all we can to allow the Spirit of God to have free reign and to work in us and to work through us. See, the resurrection proved that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's let Him work in our life and prove and show to others that we are followers of Christ. He rose from the grave on His own power. Dear friends, He is not dead. He is alive, and because of that truth, we have assurance about going to heaven by faith in Christ. You see, the death, the burial, and the resurrection are the message of the gospel. And we are to do our best to live out that message. And we cannot live out that message if we're stifling or shielding or hindering the Spirit of God in our life. You see, again, the death, the burial, and the resurrection are the message of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." John emphasized the witness of both the water and the blood, because he was dealing with false teaching that was being circulated about Jesus Christ by an early agnostic named Cerinthius. And I'll get to him in just a moment. But people do take notice of our testimony. People do take notice of our lack of testimony. And as we're seeing here in 1 Corinthians, that it is the death and the burial of the resurrection. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Are we living that out? There are so many things that we see. Many folks come in this morning and they recognize, well, pastor's not wearing his Tennessee tie. They were wondering, well, did Tennessee play? Did they lose? And then others said, oh, you got a nice Packers tie on this morning. I said, no, that's an Oregon Ducks tie that Brother Hunt bought me last year and asked me to wear it when Oregon wins if Tennessee wasn't playing or if Oregon beat Tennessee. And so he texted me yesterday, knowing that Tennessee didn't play, Oregon won, you're going to wear my tie? But the point I'm trying to make is, when I came in, people recognized that I wasn't wearing the orange tie that I like to wear. And some mistakenly thought it was the Packers one. I guess it could be. It's the same colors or the Oregon Ducks. The point I'm trying to make, people recognized what I was wearing. People recognized that it was something different. And dear friends, people should recognize the difference in our life. If we trust Christ and we're growing in grace, people should see and recognize that. If we are new believers in Christ and taking that first step of obedience and follow the Lord in believers' baptism, there's no doubt between salvation and our baptism, they should notice something. And even more so after our baptism, as we take that first step, as we want to live for Christ and let others know there's something different about me. And dear friends, we should be distinctly different as Christians because we have the full biblical assurance of the deity of Christ and what he has done for us? Are we allowing him to have free reign, to work in and through our lives that we might make a difference? Back to this gentleman named Cerinthus, who was an agnostic. This man spread false teachings about the Lord. And by the way, that's still going on today. Let me give you a little bit of some of the things that he was trying to teach. Cerinthus said that Christ's spirit did descend on Jesus when he was baptized, enabling the Lord to do miracles and teach great truths. But before he was crucified on the cross, the Spirit of God left Jesus, and he died an ordinary man, and that his death did not atone for the sins of mankind. That he was not a Savior, he denied the witness of the blood is what he did. And if that were true, and by the way, it is not, we would be in an awful mess. But John is writing to clarify these things. And I want to, again, this is absolutely free. This is why it's important that a preacher should stand, open the Word of God, and preach the truth, because there's too many out there preaching false doctrine. Too many spreading false things. Dear friends, Jesus is alive and well. There's been no change. There's no deity that came upon him that left. It is still there. He is the Savior of the world. He's the Son of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we need to make sure we're preaching and teaching the word, because if we're not hearing it and it's not being preached and we're not living it out, how will others change and see Christ in our life? They have to see it and to recognize it. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 12 through 19. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? But if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which were fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If then this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of most men miserable. Thank God that these false teachers in John's day, as well as today, do not know what they're talking about when they deny the deity of Christ. And that's why it is so important today that preachers across pulpits, in pulpits across America today, should preach the word, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says, but I'm afraid we're having too many services, religious organizations with TED Talks, with cheerleaders up there on the platform, dressed however they're dressed, but not preaching and proclaiming the whole counsel of God. I'll be honest with you. There are some days that I stand and preach, whether it's Sunday night, morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or whether I'm one-on-one talking with folks, that I'm thinking, boy, this is going to come across really hard. But dear friends, a shepherd will love you enough to say the hard things. Come on, fellas. Some of us grew up in a time when our father used to say, son, this is going to hurt me a whole lot more than it's going to hurt you. Yeah. But sometimes it hurts when I struggle with the Lord, say, Lord, help me, give me strength. I know this is going to hurt. I know it's going to be hard. But Lord, I need to be obedient. Give me wisdom. Help me to present it in such a way that we receive and understood that it's out of love and it's Bible and not just me. Thank God again that these false teachers in John's day, as well as our day today, do not know what they're talking about. The reason they are in error is because the Holy Spirit does not indwell those who have not trusted Christ. I trust and lean upon the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help me in sermon preparation, to help me in Bible study, to help me in my daily walk. And you as well should trust the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells within you as a believer to help you day by day, to give you that assurance of the deity of Christ, that assurance that Christ dwells in you and I can live for him because he died for me. The Holy Spirit, again, reveals the truth about Jesus Christ to a person. John chapter 16, In verse 13 through 15, as we prepare to close, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Let me show you, read again verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. Dear friends, we have the truth of the Word of God in our laps. The Word of God. We have the truth of the Holy Spirit that indwells with us as believers. But we must ask ourselves, are we covering that truth up? Letting it steep? And for how long? Or are we allowing it to have free reign in our lives? Dear friends, sometimes it can be very hard to step away and say, Lord, have your own way. Lord, whatever it takes. Lord, I want to serve. I want to be used of you. Lord, I'm willing to go to do anything that you would have me to do. That's the assurance that the Spirit of God gives us when we yield to him. And dear friends, are we allowing the Lord to work in us and through us? You see, the victorious Christian has assurance of the Spirit of God that dwells within him or her. We have the assurance of the deity of Christ, knowing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We know how the water works in the blood. We know it's because of the shedding of blood. The Bible says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And dear friends, if you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know when you die you'd go to heaven, why not settle that today? Why not look to the Word of God? For thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, Romans 10 and 9, thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the assurance of the believer. And dear friends, if you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, why not let me take the Bible? Why not allow me to have someone help you as you look at your Bible and know how you can be saved? And dear Christians, my question to you is, are you allowing the Spirit of God that dwells within you to have free reign? Or are you stifling him? Are you suppressing the Spirit of God? Are you saying, Lord, have free reign? Work in and through my life. One of the scariest things that you'll ever do as a believer is to take out a piece of paper, and I may have said this before, and basically say, Lord, fill in your will for my life. And then go to the bottom and sign your name. And say, Lord, whatever you would have me to do. Dear friends, it is a scary thing, but it is a rewarding thing. It is an act of obedience. It's a willingness to serve and to be used of him and however he would have you to be used. Years ago, I had a heart's desire to play baseball professionally. Back in those days, I believe if you would offer me a pack, and some of you may not know what I'm talking about, if you offer me a pack of Hubba Bubba chewing gum, I'd say, where do I sign? I just wanted to play. I just wanted to play. And the Lord had to work in my heart because of some decisions I made and some choices I made were not right. And don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with being a professional athlete if it's God's will for your life. Nothing at all. But it was not God's will for my life. And I ignored some things, and I pushed some things. I kept wanting to do things my way. And yet still, I kept pushing, and the Lord had to get my attention. It was an awesome thing, an exciting thing. At the age of 15 years old, and being able to go to all the home games back then, the Blue Jays, Knox Blue Jays, it was there in Knoxville, Tennessee, because they were looking at me beginning at the age of 15 years old. And I thought, oh boy, here's that opportunity. I can go to every home game. They've given me seats. They're interested. I can bring a few friends. How exciting those things were. And then later, some things developed and some things changed, and God had to get my attention because my priorities got out of the way. I believe I was stifling, hindering the Spirit of God in my life because I was focusing on something that I wanted, and I didn't say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I can honestly say today, going back to my youth, the privilege of playing ball, the privilege of being part of the Little League World Series, the privilege of being involved in some things and steal some records at my high school and Little League Boys Club back where I grew up. I would not trade places today. I'd rather be right here at Harvest Baptist Church behind the pulpit than in the starting lineup at the next World Series. Because that's what God's will is for my life. For those that have a job or play sports or have a job in the secular field, there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's God's will for your life. Because if we were all preachers, we'd be awfully crowded up here on this platform, wouldn't it? God needs good, godly men playing ball. God needs good, godly men as doctors and lawyers and engineers and laborers and military, and the list goes on, teachers and on and on. The bottom line is, have I allowed the Spirit of God to bear truth in my life, allowing him to have free reign? Am I serving him and how he would have me to serve? Let's stand together for prayer. Our panos would come, and the Lord spoke in your heart this morning. I want to encourage you to talk to the Lord, whether it be in your seat where you're at, stand, or here at an altar. If you'd like someone to pray with you, just come and begin praying. Raise your hand. I'll come down and pray with you. But you do business with the Lord this morning. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. And I pray the Spirit of God would have free reign in our auditorium today. May that Spirit speak to Christians who maybe need to make decisions. May that Spirit of God convict those who need to come Christ to you as our personal Savior. Father, help us as believers to honor you as our Savior, to recognize the deity of Christ and what it means, and allow the Spirit of God to have free reign. And Father, those who are here today that do not know you, would you work in their hearts and help them see their need in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed, or panelists is playing. If God has spoken to your heart, right where you stand, if you'd like to come forward, have someone to pray with you, you do that. But you do what the Lord would have you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. But as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, you respond as he leads you. Some have come to the altar and pray. Others may need to. You obey the Lord. Do business with the Lord this morning. A Christian, are you where God would have you to be? Does the Spirit of God have free reign in your heart and your life? Does it bear witness in your life because of the fruit that the Lord is producing through you? Have you yielded yourself in such a way that God wants you to? Dear friend, if you're here and you do not know the Lord as Savior, you're not sure where you spend eternity, I would sure love the opportunity to show you what the Bible says. Not what Pastor Cook says, not what Harvest Baptist Church says, but what the Bible says, how you can have eternal life. Hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. I forgot to ask Brother Sam, do you mind coming and leading us in that closing song? God bless our troops. I know the folks don't want to hear me do it. Sorry, I meant to ask you before that. Thank you, brother. As always, we'll sing God Bless Our Troops. We'll be dismissed in prayer. We'll do that after each service through the month of November.
All right. God bless our troops.